G'day, Denny. How are you, mate?
Morning, gents. Yeah, look, I'm a pretty good sweater. I don't want to name drop here, but I'm going to. I was sweating out in the gym one day, and I'm renowned for being a particularly good sweater. And Pat Rafter was training there, and Pat Rafter, as you know, they used to have to mop the court after him at the US Open because he used to sweat so much. And he just looked at me and he goes, mate, you've got me covered.
I'll tell you who'd have you covered, though, Denny, is Mal Meninga.
Yeah.
The best sweater I've seen.
Mm. Mate, I did a kangaroo tour with him in the freezing cold of England, and he was just sweating up all the time. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he could sweat. He could, in Canberra, the middle of winter, you'd run out.
And imagine Mao would be quite hairy as well.
Yeah, but you don't say that to him.
No, I don't think you say very much to Mao. Certainly if it's not positive.
Well, this is going off track a bit. You'd always, like if we were having a beer, you know, after a game or at a function or on a bus trip away, you know when you sort of, the boys are G'ing up and then you just know when you can't take it that far with Mao because you just see the look in his eye and then you go, yep, no, that's it.
Time
I'll move
stop.
Away from Mal. I'll go on to someone else.
Well, like his political career, Lods. How you said you could never bring up his political career to him.
Never, ever bring it up.
Just on radio with us.
No, you always talk about it behind his back. Of course, you know, when you get, as a group, you have a bit of a laugh, but no way in the world would you bring it up in front of him.
And speaking of Laurie in the gyms, I've seen him training because I've been in a few camps with him for the Blues. And Clarkie, he'd wear one of those, you know, those really thin singlets. But, you know, where it's barely enough to cover your shoulder.
Yeah, it's just a token, like, yeah, okay, I've put a shirt on. It's a token approach, though.
Yeah, barely a shirt. It'd just be rippling.
Doesn't surprise me.
Real Hulk Hogan-like.
Right. The arm curls, Denny, the arm curls.
I was going to say, cardio and bicep curls only.
Oh, gosh. Now, Denny, Gus, your mate Phil Gould. This approach from Peter Volandis to join the NRL in some sort of Mr. Fix-It role, what will it entail and is it likely to happen?
Look, I brought this up on 100% Footy, I think, on this show a few weeks back. And Gus, when I brought it up with him in front of Peter Volandis, he said he's going to take me out to the car park and beat me up because I brought it up. Because there's been whispers of it for a while. I think it's largely going to be a role, if he takes it up, because he has quite a few options on the table at the moment, the great Gus. And it'll be a role around helping develop pathways and getting the junior systems back. I think Peter Volandis said that there was a $40 million investment in this previously, and it hasn't gone to how he'd like it to be. So I think that it's a significant part of the game. In terms of a broader Mr. Fix-It role, I don't know if that's what's going to happen. Not at this stage anyway. Because that's all that's in my discussions I've had with Gus since that time when I brought it up. That's all he's talked about is helping the pathways.
And I think that's something that needs to be looked at, Denny, the pathways, is because we always find, you know, some clubs are happy with what was happening in the past, you know, with the under-20s comp. Others would like to see, you know, a reserve grade team come into the comp. Others would like to see, you know, what is the game doing about, you know, international football, Pacific Island football. There's a lot of work to be done, and I don't know whether anyone knows what the right system is at the moment.
Yeah, look, and it's not the sexy role that everybody's sort of hoping he'd have of coming in and, you know, blowing up the bunker or whatever he wants to do or whatever the game might need. But it's an important role, and it's one that, you know, I know that you're going to ask me about Gus and whether he's got a conflict of interest, and I have to say I'm a colleague of his, first of all. I'm also a friend of Gus's, so obviously I'm going to defend him in that regard. But let's be fair dinkum. I mean, talking about the media and conflicts, if you want to look at Fox Sports, run through some of the people on Fox, Brayton Astor. He's doing a very good job as a player manager. Cooper Cronk, coaching the Roosters hard, is doing a terrific job. Michael Ennis, he's an assistant coach at Canberra, doing a great job. Sam Burgess, I think he's an assistant at Souths as well, doing a fantastic job with Souths. So Brandy Alexander, who's one of the most respected blokes in rugby league, he's a board member at Penrith, and Gus used to be in charge of Penrith. So, and he's, you know, I think that to say he's got a conflict, well, I think a lot of people in rugby league have a conflict as well.
Joe Swaley, what's the latest with this situation, Denny?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? We were hearing about this $3 million offer from rugby. I don't know if that was ever real or not. I have no evidence to say it was. All I know is that there were talks on the weekend to make sure that Joe Swali stays with South Sydney, and part of those talks were an increased year number of, on the offer, a four-year deal from South, and also more money, an increase in the terms that he's going to get. So it's probably going to be a deal worth over a couple of million bucks, four-year deal to stay with South Sydney. And I have to say, I've talked to his family. I don't know them well. And they are a very humble family. There's a lot of kids there. There's one of the kids has got a difficult situation at the moment medically, and you can't blame a young bloke for accepting money. And to criticise him for that is unfair. I think maybe people above him deserve some criticism. If there was a $3 million offer from rugby, good luck to them. If he's going to get good money from South, that's terrific. You know, I think he's. He's a very talented young bloke from a very humble background, and I hope he does well.
Danny, you said you've spoken to the family. Do you know his code of choice, the code that he actually loves the most?
When I was speaking to the family, the strong view was that he was going to play rugby league. That was the view, even though there was this rugby union offer. But then they left the door open with me because they kept on talking to me about the Olympics, and he has a real desire, and that was, I don't know whether it was a line they were pushing or not, but there was a real desire to go to the Olympics. It was explained to Swali, to young Joseph Swali, that there's some chance the Olympics won't happen, and if he stays in rugby, you know, the Waratahs wanted him playing in a couple of weeks' time, straight up, without any sort of pre-season, without any real preparation. And there's also this promise of playing for the Wallabies. Well, in the immediate future, that's going to be you're going to be playing for the Wallabies. That's fantastic. However, what's that going to be? You're going to get beaten up by the All Blacks four or five times a year because there's not going to be much else. I can't see international rugby suddenly becoming a thing. And if you want to get trampled by the All Blacks a few times a year, that was the option that was presented to him. So, and that's the way it was. And I think that he could have easily walked into rugby. And, you know, until that deal is signed on the weekend, let's see what happens. But I'm confident that at this point in time, he's going to be at South Sydney for the next four seasons.
And talking about the All Blacks, former All Blacks, Sonny Bill Williams makes a return to the NRL with the Roosters.
Been some headlines, hasn't there?
Ooh, yeah.
Look, Sonny Bill is due in Australia on Thursday, I believe. He will go into quarantine. He will have a gym set up. He will have a very carefully monitored diet. And he is determined to make this a success. Everybody's been saying, you know, the line that's been pushed out there so far is that Sonny's been brought over for his culture and what he can do for a team, which is a tremendous rap on him. I can tell you that Sonny will not just want to be doing that. He's noted that there's been criticism of the way he's played for the Wolfpack and the people are saying he's passed his best. Well, there is no doubt we won't see Sonny Bill 2013, but you'll see a footballer who is determined and an athlete who's determined to give his all. And he's not just going to come back for the backroom stuff of the Roosters.
Now, how did Mal Meninga land David Fifita there at the Gold Coast Titans, Denny?
Look, I think obviously money was a big role, but I mean, I think that the terrible way that the Broncos have been going is a factor. But let's be straight. This was a vital signing for Mal Meninga because I know Laurie is a good mate of yours, but the Titans had missed out on a lot of players. And we know that, you know, they threw the kitchen sink and more at David Fifita. And if Mal didn't land this signature, there would have been... The heat would have been on Mal Meninga. You would have seen him really sweating because, you know, there was an incredible amount of money and probably a largely deserved amount of money. And Mal would have been under pressure because the Titans have missed out on a lot of so-called big names. And Mal has done extremely well to land this young man.
Yeah, well, I can't believe the Broncos have let him go. Well, not let him go. Their salary cap should have been well organised and had significant funds in the salary cap left to sign David Fifita, and it should have been done, you know, maybe 12 months ago. But I just can't believe that he's left the Brisbane Broncos, and that says a lot about where the Broncos are at, I reckon.
Their cap's a schmozzle, isn't it? Yeah. Oh. I mean, when you know you've got David Fifita coming off contract, and you're looking at your roster and thinking, okay, we're going to have to make some sacrifices here. We're going to have to get our roster into some kind of shape so we can make a proper play for this bloke who I mean, he's one of the best forwards I've ever seen. He's just dynamic. He's a game changer. And you'd think you'd have to have things organised so that, all right, we're going to have 800, 900, a million set aside for this bloke at least for the next few years. Instead, you know, they couldn't make a significant offer. They're calling it significant, but they couldn't get near the Titans. And they're stuck with a lot of players in their roster who are probably getting twice as much as they deserve.
Danny, we'll have to leave it there, mate. Now, just lastly, one of our listeners has sent through in regards to those singlets you're seeing Loz work out in. You can get those singlets at Sports School, says one of our listeners. So, yeah, the really thin over the shoulder ones. That's right, isn't it, Loz? Yeah.
Laurie looked great in it. He's just, mate, he's an athlete still.
It wasn't fluoro, though, was it?
Hypercolour. Blue colour.
I don't think Loz can get away with that.
On you, Danny.
See ya, bye.